Have you ever had one of those up and down weeks? Things go great one day and you're in a total funk the next. You know, a roller coaster, spiritual highs and lows. You know, you feel like you're keeping in step with the Spirit one moment, and the next moment your family goes, "Why are you so cranky today?" You know, making good progress in the morning, things not going so well in the afternoon. You wake up in the middle of the night, you go to bed feeling great, God's on the throne, you wake up in the middle of the night thinking, and what's going on? And, you know, I had kind of a week where I felt like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do. What is going on? And, the kind of thing, you're reading God's word, and you're praying, but it feels like it's bouncing off the ceiling. Well, that's no fun to be. That's not a good place to want to be. Well, I'd worked hard on my message all week, and yet yesterday I just felt like I was spinning my wheels. And I finally sat down on the deck and said, "Lord, this is just not working. What's going on?" And well, I reread 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. That was one of about 13 verses I was going to preach. And it's like the Lord said, "Just sit here for a little while. Listen to this. Think about this, the implications." And so I listened for the first time in a couple of days to him. And this is what we read in 1 John 3:1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know him or know us is it didn't know him." And then I thought, you know, I want to read it in some other translations. The Message says, "What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are." The ESV says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." King James, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God." New Living, "See how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that's what we are." And then in the Phillips translation, "Consider the incredible love the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called children of God. And that's just not what we are called, but what we are. Our heredity on the Godward side is no figure of speech, which explains why the world will no more recognize us than it recognized Christ." We are just going to camp out on that this today. We'll look at 1 John 2:28 to 3:10 next week. But right now, just think about this. Consider the great love the Lord has for us. It starts out, "How great," or "How marvelous," or "Behold," or "Consider," or "See." It's basically its call to ponder the implications of what that means. Let's say you're reading the paper in the house, and you hear the doorbell ring, your spouse goes, and she hollers over her shoulder, "Honey, Publishers Clearinghouse is here with lots of balloons, a camera crew, a four-foot-long check, and they want to talk to you." You just sit there and go, "Later, dear." No, you jump up and you run out and start screaming because they got to get a good video of you doing that too. You know, and why? Because you just won $1,000 a day for life or whatever the case may be. And you take notice. You're like, and that's, I think, what John is saying. Behold, take notice, sit up, straighten up, pay attention. I got good news for you here. You know, he has been warning. He's been given several tests. Hey, if you say you know God, you should love God, and you should obey God. And if you actually are obeying and loving God, you'll be loving your neighbor. And He is about to drop this truth on us. And it's like a ton of bricks. But it doesn't smash you like a bug. In fact, it awakens you to how wonderful and powerful and good and loving and great our God is. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. And John says a ton about love, not only in the gospel, but he says so much in 1 John. You know, among other things, he'll say, "Boy, God is love." He'll also say, "If you know and love God, you'll love others." And he says, "Don't love with just words and tongue, but with actions and in truth." But I want to focus on God's love for us. And yes, it will make a difference in those around us. There's a recent book that was written called Crazy Love. And it's not crazy as in stupid. It's crazy as in over the top, abundant, blow your mind, overwhelm you. And the crown of love he's talking about is not, "Oh, baby," it's, "God, what have you done for us? absolutely incredible. We see it in Jesus. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And the thing is, we were sinners. We were lawless, as we'll see next week. We were opposed to God, but he still takes radical actions. This is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Oh, and it says we love him because he first loved. God initiates, and all we do is respond and say thank you. Of course, we also know John wrote, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son." That's good news. He gave the most precious thing he could, the gift of himself. I don't know how the Godhead divides himself up. He's one God in three persons, but somehow he sent himself and he takes our punishment. We read the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That is amazing. And we'll see he did that so our sins would be forgiven and the devil's works destroyed. Is that good news? God did that, but the full impact is coming. Just watch out, you know. He's toast. You know, and God's love is seen in action. It's not just this ushy-gushy feeling. It's rubber meets the road love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't boast. Keeps no record of wrongs. This is the kind of love God has poured upon us. It's not just cheap talk. It is, I will do this. How great is the love the Father's lavished on us. Some translations say has given. Or bestowed, or extended. That doesn't get me that excited. I'm going to bestow upon you, unless it's like $12 million or something. I wouldn't mind that, or extend to me. But I love the NIV says, lavished on us. God is no cheapskate, passing out our daily rations. We are not in a lifeboat with only three cups the size of communion cups for 25 people to survive till who knows when. No! It's not like, here you go, 164th for you. No, what he does, we're just hoping maybe for a little handful. He backs up the dump truck. He lavishes his love. You know, think about if you've ever been apart from someone you love and then you get smothered with kisses. It is wonderful, be it your spouse, your kids, grandma, who cares? It is great. Or to think about, like, you've seen pictures of the returning servicemen or servicewomen after going to war or long deployment, and boy, the kids are kissing daddy up and down the leg and his wife's got hold of him, and oh, it's just this beautiful picture of reconciliation. And you know, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world is saying. The love is lavished upon them. You know, I like to eat. I like banquets. Tin bin buffets, great home down buffet is better. You know, go on a cruise ship, that blows it out of the water. You know, but that's nothing compared to what they used to do in the ancient Near East, you know. King Artaxerxes is having a big party back. He was the king around Esther's time. And he has a party for 6 months. That just goes on and on. But guess what? That is nothing compared to the way God lavishes his love upon us. A 6-month party with all you can eat and drink and think about, that's nothing compared to what God has done. You may remember the old hymn, "The Love of God." I love its lyrics. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned him from sin." Well, here's where it gets good. I love this picture. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. Can you imagine the ocean is your inkwell, and you're trying to write the love of God, and then the sky runs out of space, and we keep finding out the universe is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the bigger telescopes they send into space, the farther beyond, how many trillion light years are we up to travel across it? Well, guess what? They're going to keep finding the bigger telescope they send out, the bigger the universe is, that there wouldn't be room to write God's love in the sky there. And then it says, "Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." Oh, God's love is amazing. But here is a key. If you're to have God's love lavished on you, it's got to be because God is your Father. It's got to be. Because note, not all human beings are God's children. God has made everyone. Everyone's been made in the image of God. That is true. But not all human beings are God's children. That's wishful, not biblical thinking. The Bible tells us that voluntarily and thoroughly, we start out in Satan's family. We're not in God's. We're dead in our sins and transgressions. We're by nature objects of wrath. We are helpless as a little child. If you plopped a newborn baby in the middle of I-5 in L.A. at rush hour, you're as helpless as that. In fact, you're more helpless than that. It's like the dead body falls out of the hearse and laying in the freeway. All the cars coming. That body's not getting out of the way. You can't get up. You can't save yourself. It's only when God steps in. That's why he gave his son. Here's where the good news is. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins and transgressions. You were dead spiritually, and God stepped in and said, boom, let there be life, spiritual life. Okay, you respond by faith. He makes you new. This is good news indeed. The Bible is about what God has done, and we have to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You are good to us. We read in Titus 1, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. He saved us, not because of righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. And our job is to respond by the truth. Galatians tells us, you're all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And John 1, but as many as received him, to them, through those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or a human decision or husband's will, but born of God. It's God who does the work. And we say, thank you, Lord, for adopting us into your family. We have fellowship with God when we say yes to Jesus. And I'm convinced that he's the one that put the yes in me. And so I have to thank him for that. The Old Testament tells us that God is a father to the fatherless. He'll never leave us. Even if our parents leave, he won't. And from the very beginning, we see God's character qualities and his beauty and his wonder. And as Christians, we've inherited the ability to say, our Father. The New Testament uses the word Father, I think, 245 times. John in his gospel uses it 100 times. But that was a radical idea in the New Testament, to call God your Father. R.C. Sproul wrote, in the history of Judaism, from the Old Testament and all the extra-biblical writings until the 10th century A.D., there's not a single reference of a Jewish person saying, hi, Dad, how you doing? That just wouldn't have been done. You wouldn't have called him Father. He was the Lord. He was Adonai. He was El Shaddai. He was Jehovah Rapha. You name it. There's a lot of great names. But you wouldn't say, Heavenly Father? That just wasn't done until thousands of years later. There were appropriate forms of address. But boy, the first Jewish rabbi really to come on the scene and call God Father was Jesus. And he even used the term Abba, which is an intimate, a familiar term. Some say, well, you could say it's like saying Daddy. Wow, that's radical. And the people didn't like that because, boy, if Jesus was on those kind of terms with God the Father, there, he was not just this ordinary Jewish guy walking around. We know he was God in the flesh. Absolutely amazing. And when he prays, he's talking to the Father. Father, let this cup pass from me. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Oh, my goodness. And then Jesus, when he was asked by the disciples, how should I pray? He said, start out, our Father. Isn't that incredible? You can talk to the one who made everything, who's all-powerful, omnipotent, just, you name it. We could keep going with the attributes. And we're set. We have this intimate relationship. He is saying, if you're related to me, call me Dad. Wow, that's fabulous. Romans 8:17, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Wow, when God is our Father, that means we're his children. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Guess what? We are sons and daughters of the King. That's no slouchy title. That's no second-rate position. You know, you were hoping to be a U.S. senator, but instead you got passed up for the assistant undersecretary to the county clerk of Podunksville. You know, no, you're ambassadors of the King. But not only that, you got royal blood flowing through your veins because of what Jesus has done. We're told you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. a holy nation, people belonging to God. He has done this. This is good news. Oh my goodness gracious. Once you were not a people, but now that you're people of God, once you'd not received mercy, now you've received mercy. And that's true of you if you belong to God. Ephesians said he chose us in him before the creation of the world. The Godhead is there before creation. I don't know. They were having a discussion. Let's create a world. And Steve and Jane and Kim and Donna and Jim, they're going to be ours. And then they said, oh, let's create the world. Let's get started today. Boom, boom, boom. And here it is. And he's been thinking about you since before the creation of the world. That's incredible. Paul talks about sonship in Romans and Ephesians all over the place. The Greek word for adoption can mean son position. John Corson says, Jesus took our position on the cross so we might take a position in heaven. He who was rich became poor for our sake so we might enjoy the riches of God. Is that amazing? I heard a story of two brothers. Supposedly it's true. I don't know for sure. And they wanted to play Little League. And so they signed up. The registrar was kind of puzzled because he said, you guys are brothers, but you're only 6 months in age different. You're brothers, yeah? Well, one of us was adopted, one of the kids said. Which one? Asked the registrar. Well, we ask our dad all the time, but he says he can't remember. And then John 17 says, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The word as means to the same degree. He loves you to the same degree that he loves Jesus. God loves you to the same degree he loves his son. Is that amazing? God the Father and God the Son and the God the Holy Spirit, they have perfect love, amazing, unconditional. I don't quite get it, but it is incredible. And he loves you like that. And when you become made God's children, you're given the promise that you'll be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's not always an easy process. I'm in process. You're in process. It's going to be a while until the Lord takes us home, and then the process will be complete. You know, when God adopts someone, though, there's no break in the relationship. He's like, you're in. It's signed in permanent ink. You know, it's tattooed. You belong to me, and there's no erasing it, no laser derm treatment or whatever else. It's there for good. I remember a number of years ago hearing about this lady who had adopted a child, a little boy from Russia. She brought him home. He was a terror. It was rough going for sure. But she did something which horrified people. She bought a one-way ticket and sent him back to Moscow. Ah! God is not going to do that with you, even if you are not the nicest kid on the block. He can handle you for one, but that's just not how he operates. When you're in his family, you're stuck. He gives you his name. Sorry, Kim, you got Crooch. You know, that's your last name now. You know, hard to spell, gets butchered, sounds weird. No one knows what it means. But, you know, you're given God's name. You're in his family. And you're not going anywhere except to heaven with them. God doesn't give up on his kids. He deals with them. He will discipline you, yes. But the bond's permanent, and it's an eternal one. It's not washing out. A few weeks ago, we were at men's breakfast. We talked about Absalom. I don't know how that came about. But we talked about how after Absalom rebelled against David, tried to kill him, made him flee, wanted to take over the kingdom. Absalom was a bad guy. Well, he was finally killed. And so the people in David's army thought, this is great news, that your young punk son's out of the way. And now you can go back to being king, go back to Jerusalem. This is going to be great. What's David do? He bawls his eyes out. He grieves like nobody's business. And it drives the general Joab nuts. Hey, this was supposed to be a great day, and you made a day of mourning. And I thought, you know, that drives me crazy, too. I don't like this story, David. And then one of the fellas, in a quiet voice, said, you know what? That was his son. That doesn't change. He's still his son. A good father always loves, and you've got a good father no matter what you do. He will bring you back. He will cause things to happen to get your attention, but he's still your father and you're still his kids. That's good news. I was talking to a young homeless guy in Shady Cove this week, and he mentioned his mom will have nothing to do with him. I think it's probably because of how he's acted and his raging drug addiction, but it was heartbreaking. Here's a young guy in his 30s, living under the bridge, literally, and his mom lives in Shady Cove. 2 miles away, no connection. So she won't have anything to do with me. And he told me what he told her. And so, well, I can see why things are a little strained right now. But I think, when you become God, part of God's family, you put your trust in him, you won't be cast out. That's good news. I love the parable. You could say the parable of the prodigal son. I love to call it the parable of the loving father. He was running. He was waiting. God is there. What a beautiful picture. Well, when God's your father and you're his child, what do you receive? Protection, nurture, discipline, love, admonition, inheritance, hope. You know, sometimes we'll challenge our kids. We'll have them do something. Or we'll say, hey, let's just keep hiking. Let's go down to the creek. Or let's hike to this farther lake. Or do this other activity. And sometimes we meet with a little opposition. You've all had that happen. But we're like, trust us, trust us. And then we get there and it's like, oh, this is awesome. I've never seen so many frogs in all my life. And they're just having a great time. Was it worth hiking an extra quarter mile to the cliff? Like, oh, yeah, this is great. Frogs everywhere. You know, maybe that's not your thing. It may be ice cream. And we're like, trust us. We're looking out for you. God is looking out for us. We can trust him. He knows what's best. We may not see it, but he's got to figure it out. And that's what he wants us to do. You know, I know that not everyone's had a good earthly father. You may not have had a good father, but you can have one now. You can have the best. You can have a perfect one. You can go from being a child of wrath to a child of God. And God's the one who makes it happen. When you put your faith in Jesus and say, I trust you because I need a Savior. You're the only way to God. He says, that's exactly right, and come on in. And when God makes you right, he gives you the right to be his child. And that's who you become. And John says you're called children of God, and that is what you are. Don't you love that? You're not only called it, but that's what you are. I've been called names that weren't true, and I've not been called things that were true. And, you know, but when God says you're children, that is the fact. He calls you his child, and that's what you are if you belong to him. That's good news. Think about it. The all-powerful one who made everything says, you're my child. Wow. Wow. You know, that's better than being Bill Gates' kid. Hey, Dad, can I have $20 million? Sure. You aren't just some far-off, distant part of the family tree. You're not some distant great-great-grandchild. You're not the fourth cousin twice removed. You're his child. And he loves you. And he's proud of you. And he sings over you in Zephaniah, we're told. So don't keep living like a barely tolerated step grandchild. Start living like you belong in God's family. Because you do. And what God says about his son, he's communicating about you. He says, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. I'm happy in him. If you're a child of God, God is pleased with you. And he's looking forward to saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And hopefully you will be doing what's right and pleasing him. But there's no getting into heaven by the skin of your teeth. It's all or nothing. And if you're in, it's because you're his beloved child. And that's good news. Aren't you glad it has nothing to do with our works? It's his grace and his goodness and us saying, thank you, Lord. Sons and daughters, brother and sister, see what kind of love the Father's got for us. We have some friends, and a few years ago, they were going to pursue an international adoption. And they said, we just really feel like the Lord wants us to adopt a little girl from Uganda. And we went, what? They hadn't seen a picture. They hadn't heard a name. We've lived overseas, and we know what it's like to go to a third world, kind of goofed up place. And, well, we kind of took a wait-and-see approach. Are they getting, what's going to happen with this? But they kept talking and talking and talking. And in this case, the more they learned about the adoption in Uganda, the more it became apparent if they were going to adopt a little girl from there, they were not going to be able to take a one-week trip, sign some documents, meet the little kid, buy some diapers, get some formula, hop on the plane and come back. They were going to have to move there. They're like, whoa, that is crazy. That's insane. I don't know where my last page of my paper went, but I know the rest of the story. And so, you know what they did a year and a half ago? They packed all their belongings up. They moved all their stuff into storage. They brought their four boys, and they moved to Uganda. And they've been there ever since. And Little Miracle has been living with them for over a year now. And let me tell you, I am looking forward to hearing the story someday. How did I become part of your family? Because let's just say she doesn't, there's no family resemblance, but is she part of that family? Oh, yeah. And is this a beautiful story? Absolutely. They are really hoping the details come together for many, many reasons where they can return in the next month to come back to the States. But they packed up the whole family a year and a half ago. They moved heaven and earth to go meet a little girl they didn't know anything about. She didn't know them. They didn't know her. But you know what? That's nothing compared to what our God did for us. He left his throne in heaven. He steps into this world knowing he's going to suffer. But he says, I want you to be part of my family. Little Miracle is going to learn the story of how she became part of that family. How the Bradleys packed up, went, took hold of her, and now she's part of them. And they're never letting go, vice versa. But God did that for you. He says, I'm your father and you are my child. What sacrifice, what love, what great, super fantabulous, fantastic news that is. So what should you do with it? Read it. Rejoice because of it. Remember it. Mention it. Meditate on it. Be awed and amazed by it. Ponder it. Praise God for it. Proclaim it. Thank God for it. Love God for it. Live it. Chris Tomlin recently wrote a song called Good, Good Father, and that was playing as part of the prelude. And the chorus says, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. People of God, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons, and I'll add daughters, of God.